How'd that show go?
Nobody knew we were going to be there, right? And so our stage crew, Kenny Mauricio, our original drummer, was in charge of the stage crew. So he went there and set up our, we had a 12-foot circle made just like they had on Ed Sullivan.
A riser?
A riser.
For the drums.
For the drums. And had plexiglass all the way around it. So we had the stage set up, and we had a guy that was going to introduce us, and he was supposed to introduce us as the musical theater company plays tribute to the Beatles. But he got nervous. So he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!" And then we run out, and we're waving, you know, and we're all dressed up as the Beatles. We got all the same guitars, everything, and people went nuts. They went, ah!
They thought you were the Beatles.
Yeah, they actually thought we were the Beatles. And we our first song was, I think, She Loves You. We did She Loves You, and at the end of Yeah, 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 all of a sudden the whole place went, ah! And they rushed the stage.
Wow.
So now they were up in the stands. Now they're all in front of the stage. And my mom and dad were actually there, and they were sitting next to the people. He says, "I'm going to call up my brother. The Beatles are here." So they actually thought we were the Beatles, because that was actually the first Beatles tribute band. So it was free to get in, you know, it was a benefit thing. So my parents were sitting next to these people, and they're calling up their relatives. "Yeah, the Beatles are really here. You know, listen, you know," stuff like that. And so we sounded pretty good. I mean, we've been singing those songs since they came out, and we actually had five guys singing instead of four.
So now let's get the lineup down for the Beatle tribute band. Who's playing what?
Okay, my brother Bruce was playing John Lennon. Mike Galinchin was playing George Harrison. Kevin Silvers was Ringo. And I was playing Paul. And I was faking left-handed Hofner because I'm right-handed. And I had a bass player, Randy Zins, who played with Alexander O'Neill. And he studied at the Boston School of Music. And he was playing a fretless Fender, and he had an acoustic bass amp. But he would sit down in a chair behind the stage and just play. And then when we did Sgt. Pepper, Rick Gilmore played all the keyboards. And then we actually got a Mellotron for the Sgt. Pepper's portion. While we were playing at the Civic Center there, somebody saw us from Valley Fair. And then he came up to me, and he said, "Here, call this number. We want to talk to you." So I called up this number, and he said, "Yeah, we saw you at Freedom Fest 76. We're going to open up Valley Fair in June of, 76, which was a few months away." And said, "Okay, we'll do it, you know." So then we went to Valley Fair, set up our stuff, and we had about 8,000 people see the first show.
And what was the name of the band, Build It?
It was still the musical theater company plays tribute to the Beatles. And we played one show during the day, about 45 minutes. Then we played when the sun went down. Then we had a Trooper light that I bought. And then we had EMI, was a music store in Northeast Minneapolis. They did our sound for us because we didn't have enough equipment for that job. So we had EMI do a couple jobs.
What kind of crowds did you get at Valley Fair?
Well, little kids and parents.
How about numbers?
Well, there was about 8,000, I think, the first time. And then when we played we played the next year also. And they hired us back, and then we played in the band shell that they had. And when we were playing in the band shell, Steve Lieber from New York, he booked Aerosmith and Ted Nugent, New York City Dolls. Him and David Krebs came from New York to see our show. And right after we did our first show, Steve Liebers comes behind the stage, and he says to me, he goes, "You're the best bass player I've ever seen." He says, "You're jumping all over the stage, you're singing. I didn't hear one wrong note." I said, "Come here, I'll show you my bass playing." Here's Randy Zins sitting in a chair behind the curtain. I said, "Steve, this is Randy Zins. That's my bass playing." "Oh," I said, "I tried to learn left-handed, but I couldn't do boys fast enough, so we got a bass player." And he was a neighborhood kid. So I was faking, but I faked it pretty good. You know, I tried to do as best I could faking. You know,
and
it worked out. Yeah. You know, no one ever knew. So
what did the New York people do for the band?
They flew us out to New York, and we went to a studio a block off Broadway. We thought, this is it. We're making it, you know. So he flew us out. My dad came. He paid his own way. And he videotaped that, our audition, more or less, with Steve Lieber. And they had, I forget his first name, but Weissman. He played Paul in Beatlemania. He was there. And the guy that played John, he was there. But they didn't have a George or a Ringo at the time. And so we played, you know, like three or four songs for him. And he said, thank you very much. And we went back to Minnesota. Then our lead guitar player got a call, because I had everybody's numbers and stuff. They wanted him to be George Harrison because they already had Paul and John.
Oh, so they were looking to pick up people from different bands.
Because they were putting together Beatlemania, but it wasn't put together yet.
Got it.
They came out like 6 months or 8 months later. They played on Broadway there.
You mentioned Kevin Silvers had a prosthetic nose.
Mm-hmm. We had that made by the Guthrie Theater.
To look like Ringo?
Yep. Paul Schoenack did our wigs, human hair wigs. For the rest of the guys, I had my own hair. And then Kevin Silvers had a prosthetic nose that was looked like Ringo's. But he was so far away all the time, it didn't matter if he had it on or not. So it took a while to put it on, you know. So we said, oh, just forget the nose. So we only did it a few times.
So when you come back to Minnesota after going to New York, was that the end of the Beatle tribute band? Or
no, I went out to Los Angeles and met with Sam Lutz. He booked Lawrence Welk. Because the guy that was booking us, Lloyd Nerlin, Myron Florin, who plays accordion on Lawrence Welk, that was his first cousin. And so he got us an interview with Sam Lutz. Now, Sam Lutz has his office right next to the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, right next door, upstairs. So I brought an 8mm film. I told him I was going to bring that. He had a projector there that my dad made. Sound and everything, and I played it for him. He says, I want you to go on a 3-year state fair tour for like $350,000 for 50 jobs or something like that, right? After I got back from Hollywood, more or less, Steve Lieber, I was talking to him on the phone, and I just mentioned, I said, yeah, we're going to go on a state fair tour. Sam Lutz is going to book us. You know, I didn't say how much. But I said he's going to, you know, about 52 jobs or 50 jobs, something like that. The next day, Sam Lutz calls up Lloyd Nerlin, our agent. He says, oh, I'm very sorry, but I know Steve Lieber, and he's putting together Beatlemania. He doesn't want you guys out, so you guys are canceled. Mm. You're not booked now. Mm. I said, oh, man. So that was the end of the Beatles show. Our last show we ever did, I put together a different show because we just kind of quit. But then I got Steve Masson on lead guitar as George, and then Dave Roussan, who made Prince's guitar for Purple Rain. He was John Lennon. Then Mark Silvers, Kevin's brother, played drums because Kevin didn't want to do it anymore. Then I played Paul again. Then we just did early Beatles because Rick Gilmore was doing something else. He was doing a one-man band at the Hilton, I think, in the airport. And so we had Randy Zins on bass again, but we just did early Beatles. So our last show we ever did was at Uncle Sam's before it was called First Avenue.
What year would have that been?
That was 1980. And then after we did that, we really said, I guess we're done. Because we couldn't get a job anywhere. Could we call up somebody? Oh, no, Steve Lieber's got that.
Is it your understanding that your Beatle tribute band was the first Beatle tribute band in the country?
I think so, because our first job was in 1976.
You never heard of any other Beatle tributes?
No, never even heard of anybody doing it. And the only reason we did it, because it came out of the shows we were doing at the Badger Room and the Hideaway. So as soon as we got out of there, we just said, oh, let's do a show, you know. But I didn't see anything about Beatles shows until years later. you know. So I don't know it as a fact, but personally, I think we were the first ones probably in the world that did it.
And then the Beatlemania.
Now there's thousands of bands that do the Beatles. Right. Thousands.
Right.
And there's a lot of good ones out there, a lot better than we were, you know, because they got top people doing that. They got Disneyland and a lot of amusement parks. They have Beatles shows, and they're all good.
So are you done with music at that point, 1980?
My brother Bruce, Chris Kamen, and Mark Silvers and myself, we did 400 weddings in 6 years. So we turned into a wedding band.
What was that band called?
True North. So we were playing as True North, and then we turned into Starfire. And so we actually, after doing that for 4 years, then we that was the end of that. So we ended up as Starfire.
So when you look back over the many, many years you're playing music in town, do you have any special memories that come to mind when you think back to those days?
Well, when we played at the Hideaway in the Badge Room, it was like the most fun I ever had in my life, you know. And then the Beatles show, it was actually like being the Beatles, you know. We played with Wolfman Jack in Houston, Six Jobs, and we had 24,000 people down there. And it was just like being the Beatles.
And people screamed and stuff?
Huh?
People screamed?
They all screamed. There's 24,000 people screaming because they're kind of far away from us, because in front of the stage was a little lake. And they had 15,000 watts for PA. Willie Nelson played there the week before us, and they had the same PA, you know, it was like a house PA for the Six Flags Over Texas. Actually, my dad flew down there and filmed us. So we hung out with Wolfman Jack for a couple of days. We actually went on a roller coaster with him, him and his agent, Jay Harvey. I've talked to Jay Harvey recently, because I sent him pictures of us playing with Wolfman. You know, just he's still booking. He's in Hollywood. But
so today, what are you up to these days? Where do you live and what do you do?
Well, I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm retired. I was a pilot for last 25 years. I was a flight instructor. Then I flew for UPS for about 6 months. But I was living in a suitcase, and I stopped doing that. So I put in 10,500 hours as a pilot, 9,500 as a flight instructor. Then I was a flight examiner. I issued 105 private licenses, 6 commercial pilot's licenses. Then I draw cartoons for the Midwest Flyer magazine. I draw these two cartoon characters. I was a commercial artist. I was a fashion illustrator for Sears in 67 when I left vocational high school. So I took my aviation experience and my commercial art experience, and I made these two cartoon characters called Roger Roger, two birds that fly airplanes. And I was in the Minnesota Flyer magazine from 84 to 88. Then they sold the magazine. Then Midwest Flyer out of Wisconsin found out I was drawing cartoons for them, so they asked me if I could draw cartoons for them. So I did, and I've been in that with them since actually 91, I think it was. Mm. And I've been drawing an aviation flight training book where my two bird characters, one's an instructor, the other one's a student, and they have adventures. I've drawn 395 cartoons for that book, and it's an aviation flight training book, more or less.
Still play guitar at all?
I play with a guy named Ross McCullough, and he's... He's 10 years younger than me. I'm 67. He's 57, but he loves the Beatles, you know, and I love the Beatles. I mean, that's my favorite band. So we're doing Beatles and Eagles, Tom Petty. He can imitate Tom Petty really good. And we're having a lot of fun. We're just a duo. And I've got two Bose towers, 750 watts each side with two Bose bass bins and an 8-channel mixer. So we put our folk guitars. I got a Yamaha electric flat top. And he's got a Horner, I think it is. But we plug into the 8-channel mixer, run it through the two Bows. That's it. No guitar amps. And it sounds good. You know, we got digital Ibanez digital delay.
You're playing in clubs in Phoenix?
Oh, well, we did one club. Then we did two birthday parties. That's all the jobs. We've only been playing together for about 8 months. Oh, he did a job. The way I met him, he was in another group that was playing for a car show, and they only do it once a year, and they needed another singer and a guitar player. So I met their lead singer at an art show. We were just talking, and he says, yeah, I'm a lead singer in a band. And I said, well, I play guitar. He said, oh, we're looking for a guitar player that can sing. Can you sing? I said, well, I can get by, you know. Ross and I were doing, like, backup singing for the lead singer. After we did the one show at the car show, he says, hey, let's do a duo. And then we had a drummer for a while, but then he went back to South Dakota. So we said, let's just do duo. So now we know about 42 songs right now. We had a list of about 50 songs, but then we kind of dropped the other ones, and now we're learning newer songs. But it's strictly, some country western, you know, like Johnny Cash, you know, the regular country western stuff. And then we do Eagles, and it's fun. You know, it's just two of us singing. He's a good singer, and we harmonize really well.
Any final thoughts?
I'm retired, and I'm having the best time of my life because I'm doing what I like. I'm doing my artwork, and I'm playing with another guy that we're doing the songs that we both like.
Randy Arneson, thank you for taking the time to stop by Sunrise Sound in Rogers today and share with us the story of your time in Kiss of Rain and all the other bands you were in.
Well, thank you, Tom. Nice seeing you again, and of course, Danny. And you guys look the same, because last time I saw you, was, you know, a little while back, and you guys
actually,
age well.
Actually, we look older, but thank you for the compliment, Randy.
Okay.
The preceding interview was recorded on September 25th, 2016, at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com. She wants all three.